Welcome to this portion of the worship, the service of the Word from Daleville Christian Church. We begin with a reminder from 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I used to think that people should attend Bible-believing churches. Maybe it would be better if people attended Bible-reading churches so that the believers would know what it is they claim to believe. We have an affirmation of our faith at Daleville Christian Church, one that we repeat each time we are together, and we use some 20 different ones we find in God's Word. This one from 1 Timothy in the 6th chapter, "Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen." The reading of God's Word for today is from Luke's Gospel in the 13th chapter, the first 9 verses. "Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, 'Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will also perish.'" May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Today we get to talk about being afraid. Why? Because, unfortunately, many of us are afraid. Also, being afraid, being fearful, is not a popular topic. Our own fears are not something we want to talk about or think about. So if you're afraid of spiders, you don't really want to talk about spiders. So listen to this. You want to appreciate that a sermon or two about fear forces the preacher to think about his own fears. Predictably, I didn't like it. But you should also know that the therapist's solution to dealing with fear is to talk about your fear. We have examples in the Bible of things you can do about fear. Many children are afraid of the dark. Some adults are also afraid of the dark. Victims of crime can often, as a result of their trauma, be afraid of the dark. One helpful option, turn on a light. Jesus said that your light will bring light to an entire room that was dark. And that happens to be the theme for this year's Vacation Bible School at Daleville Christian Church. We want to let the light of Jesus shine out from us. How old is that old saying, "Better to light a candle than to curse the darkness"? So the good part of these sermons is that we hope to light a candle, maybe more than one, and make sure that the light of Jesus is bright within you so you can light up more than one room, or at least given us all an opportunity to burn brighter. First of all, we can talk about common fears. These are fears that many people share, and some fears they don't share with others for fear of sounding childish. But these are fears, taken to some extreme, can interfere with tasks of daily living, and that is when a therapist is needed. Common fears include public speaking. Many people have that, but they ignore it by simply not speaking in public. Bugs and insects. I had this fear early on in my life. I think I'm over it now. Drowning. Learning to swim can help with that one. A fear of blood or needles. My best advice is don't look, turn your head. Enclosed in small spaces, what we know as claustrophobia. Now, I don't like them, but I believe I can endure a scan. Some people fear flying. No more me, no more than the next person, I suppose. I will fly. Strangers. Well, I'm not allowed to be afraid of strangers because of my job as pastor. I don't have to trust strangers, but I can't act afraid of them. And you may think this is sounds silly, but zombies are on the list. Sounds like something maybe teenagers put in there when they were asked about their fears. But if you think of zombies as mindless killers, because that's what zombies are, zombies certainly make my list of fears. I am afraid of mindless killers, which includes inattentive drivers even going the speed limit while giving the appearance of controlling a 2-ton piece of steel and plastic. But only the appearance. Now, those are the most common fears. Many of us deal with regularly without interfering with our lives. Then we have fears we admit to pollsters, which are considered real fears. Here are America's top 10 fears for 2021. The fear of loved ones dying, the fear of loved ones becoming seriously ill, and both of those fears make a lot of sense during a deadly pandemic, don't they? Fear of mass shootings. I think in America we understand that one. Fear of not having enough money for retirement, a fear of terrorism, a fear of government corruption, a fear of becoming terminally ill, a fear of hate crimes, a fear of high medical bills, a fear of widespread civil unrest. Overall, health issues and public violence emerge as the most pressing worries, with financial strain, distrust of government, and environmental concerns looming alongside standard fears like crime and car crashes. The comprehensive study revealed 45% of people are experiencing more daily anxiety and fear than they were 12 months ago. After a year of isolation and conflict, the idea of losing loved ones generates a great deal of fear. 65% were afraid of the death of a loved one, and 1 in 5 people were afraid of losing relationships due to political differences. Fears vary greatly along political lines. Conservatives are more frightened of gun restrictions than of gun violence, and are more afraid of communism than the death of a loved one. Liberals fear fascism more than car crashes or physical assault. But I want you to notice something. All of them are afraid. All of them. It doesn't matter where you are on the political spectrum. You are afraid. 2020 has been labeled the most stressful year on record, and the American Psychological Association said rampant anxiety has become a national mental health emergency. The research indicates the situation has not yet significantly improved. That was last year. I think I can confidently state that Russia's invasion of the Ukraine has ramped up many people's fear of nuclear war. The 2022 information is not available, but I imagine the list of fears has not changed much in the last 6 months. And now a note from your doctor. Fear has effects on the body. The effects of the fight or flight response hormones are necessary if you really must fight or take flight. They can help you if you're in an accident or if you see an accident. That's how some bystanders can rescue someone. But if you don't have to fight or flee, the presence of those stress hormones over the long term, brought on by stress or fear, those same stress hormones are damaging to the body and damaging to your health. So oddly, being afraid of dying will eventually kill you, unless you channel your fear into taking care of your health. Or put it another way, you and I should be afraid of being afraid all of the time. And from what the polls tell us, Americans are fairly fearful all the time. Now here's a note from your pastor. If you're listening to this message with a group of fellow Jesus followers, you are already doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing to reduce your fears, and by reducing your fears, you are in better health. Generally speaking, those who claim to be Christians are less fearful than the heathens, the pagans, and other religions. Generally speaking, if you attend worship services regularly, you also have fewer fears, or you are generally less fearful. So you are doing something about your fears, and you are less fearful than other people. Generally speaking, those who claim to be Christian, no matter what category of Christian, are much less frightened than people who hold a non-Christian identity, another religion, being non-religious, or being an atheist. Do I need to repeat that? Generally speaking, those who claim to be Christian, no matter what category of Christian, are much less frightened than people who hold a non-Christian identity. You are less fearful because you claim Jesus. It's a scientific fact for 2020. And the good news is we can do even better. We have a lot of power with regard to fear, and God's Word says so. Remember our affirmation of faith from last week? For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. Sonship, men and women, because in the ancient world, sons inherited the father's estate. Men and women, followers of Jesus, are sons and will inherit the Father's kingdom. Jesus' words today speak to some of our modern fears, particularly concerning death. Death was more certain and appeared more random than death appears to us today. However, it should be noted that the Bible generally is not concerned with our physical safety. Generally speaking, the Bible is very concerned for your spiritual safety and your spiritual well-being. So while Jesus mentions real events of people dying suddenly without provocation, Jesus uses the randomness of death to make his listeners lean in toward God. It was believed then and still today that good people will not have to deal with disease, accidents, and pandemics. Remember the checkout lady I told you about who told me when the pandemic started, "Oh, I think God will take care of us"? I said nothing more at the time, but I did wonder. She's pushing the Lord pretty hard there. And in what area of my life would God take care of me or us? Will God never allow me to get sick with COVID? Or maybe God never allow me to be hospitalized with COVID, or perhaps the Lord will not let me die from COVID, although I might get to death's door. I know what level of God's care I wanted, but I would never claim that I was guaranteed that by God. And Jesus here does not guarantee anyone's safety. Jesus does not organize a protest march at a meeting of the county commissioners, or whoever issued the building permit for that Tower of Siloam that fell. Jesus is basically saying we're all going to die, but no one has to perish. John 3:16. that we all will die was just as uncomfortable a statement in Jesus' day as it is in the 21st century. But Jesus' concern was, in that moment, our life after death. Jesus emphasized that the world is what it is, but there's a better way to go through it, and that would be a life lived in relationship with the Heavenly Father, from whom His love, and from His love we cannot be separated. No one can snatch us out of Jesus' hands, Jesus said. Paul simply asked, if God is for us, who can be against us? Or a popular Christian saying in the 80s and 90s was that you and God are a majority. This should also help make us less fearful. I have to make one political statement that comes out of all this talk of fear. Americans are emotional voters. We don't decide our votes on the issues. Both of our political parties know this. So they highlight fear-inducing news so that you will seek to vote for their party's candidates. We vote based on emotion, not reality, and not the issues. The scientists have been watching us, and it doesn't much matter which news outlet we watch. Take your pick, Fox News or MSNBC. Watch one or the other every day, and you will be more fearful, period. The only difference is which issues cause fear, but the media make us more fearful. All who watch one or the other, MSNBC, Fox, all who watch are all fearful. That we vote based on emotions and not reality, and not issues, is readily demonstrated. So when we hear about a shark attack, we think the beaches are not safe. This is true no matter how many times that I tell people that more people in the U.S. are killed by cattle than by sharks. I also will remind people that those are not shark attacks. A shark attack is when a shark comes to your house and bites you. But if you're walking through a shark's living room, or if you're walking through a shark's den, or you're walking through a shark's kitchen, the shark is only guilty of self-defense, not criminal recklessness and not murder. Strangely, the facts, the true facts, do not change people's concerns. Besides, based on our fear, Steven Spielberg can make a blockbuster movie called Jaws, and 50 years later, actually 48 years later, most of us remember the movie and the book. Some of us can sing the film's shark music. And wasn't there a woman who was attacked by an American bison in our parks? No, two women. Two women in two different national parks. In the month of June, attacked by bison, the American buffalo. People are not attacked that often in Yellowstone National Park. It averages to about one a year. But do you know how most of those people were injured? The people approached the buffalo. Clearly, bison attacks and bison warnings from the National Park Service do not make people afraid of bison attacks or even to keep their distance from wild animals. But shark attacks, and people will tell you not to go in the water. What's the difference? Numbers? Nope. Emotions. Sharks open their mouths, we see sharp teeth. Buffalo shake their heads, and we see them as docile and peaceful right up to the moment they start charging us. We approach the national park and the beach differently, based only on our emotions. It's kind of depressing, really. But you can do something about it. Since it's our media feed that makes us more fearful, then you need to spend less time on media, any kind of media. You control what media and how much media you take in. I do remember that my seminary professor said at his retirement that he wished he had not spent time every day reading the newspaper. So cut back on media. Increase your prayer time. Increase your Bible reading. You are already reducing your fear factor by being here in the Lord's sanctuary, communing with others who claim their dependence on God. They know that their salvation is a gift of love from which none of us can be separated. Jesus offered the disciples and still offers you and I peace. Amen.